I remember you.
Good evening and welcome to Scratched Up Radio Theater on KKRN Community Radio. Our presentation tonight is part two of Remember When, written by Darren Ebersold and directed by John Welsh.
If you remember part one, Clyde and Hal are a couple of senile old men who reconnect every day at the bar and tell the stories about their lives, with a fair bit of bickering thrown in. In act two, we see there is more to these guys than first thought. The scene begins with Hal and Clyde entering the bar together, which is quite unusual considering they're supposed to be senile and not remember each other.
That's odd. They're early and already talking to each other.
Hey, barkeep, how about a couple of beers?
Yeah, sure, pick your poison. No, let me guess. Coors for you and a Coors Light for you?
Well, you're good, barkeep. Got a name?
Nope, just call me Bubba.
Bubba?
You two know each other?
Well, funny thing, I was just about to walk in when this guy went for the door handle at the same time. Wouldn't you know it? He's one of my oldest friends. I haven't seen him since we were kids.
Is that so?
Yeah. You never know who you'll run into in this town, do you?
You're still driving?
What? No, I'm not driving. Where'd that come from?
Well, you said you ran into somebody.
Not in a car, you old coot. Walking down the sidewalk.
You ran into somebody walking down the sidewalk?
I'm talking about you, Hal. I ran into you right outside this bar not 5 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah, that. Right. Who'd have thought?
Hey, you never know what'll happen around here, do you? I'll get your beer.
Well, I think we might have just screwed the pooch, buddy.
Yeah, maybe.
If he finds out, he's going to be mad.
Well, let's not let on till we know for sure.
Okay, but I think he knows.
Well, if he does, it might be for the best. We might need his help.
Here you go, boys. Coors for you. What was your name again?
Hal.
Okay. And a Coors Light for you. And your name?
Clyde. My name is most certainly Clyde.
Okay, then, boys. Nice to meet you. Enjoy your beer. Call if you need anything.
Sounds good, Jeff.
I knew it!
Jim. Bubba.
Is there something you boys want to tell me?
Nope.
Is there something you should tell me?
Nope.
Hal? Come on, Hal.
Aw, shucks.
Dang it, Hal. You never could keep a secret.
What? I never said a thing.
You didn't have to, you big dummy. My dog could have seen you were lying.
You have a dog? And I'm the one lying. You're not allowed to have a dog in the home.
No, I don't have a dog. I was making a point. And you know I have never lied to you.
Well, there was that one time when we were 12.
Oh, for crying out loud, Hal. I told you then, and I'll tell you now, I wasn't lying. That bull really did chase us up that tree and wouldn't let us down.
And I'm supposed to believe that Lacey Givens just happened to be in that same field and got chased up that same tree.
Well, yeah, that's the way it was. Kept us up there better part of 2 hours.
Yeah, long enough to miss my ball game.
I apologized for that. Besides, you struck out 2 times that game. I didn't miss much.
Well, I bet I missed a bunch. I bet you didn't strike out.
Well, it seems you've both been keeping a secret from me. How about you come clean?
All right. We haven't been exactly straight with you, Jeff.
Try not to be mad at us. We're just a couple of senile old men.
Oh, I think there's more to this story than a couple of senile old men. Come on, guys. You're the only one in the whole joint. How about you tell me what the heck's been going on for the last few months? You two are certainly not the senile old men you've been pretending to be.
Dang it, Jeff, you just don't know what it's like to live in a place like that.
You ever been pinned up and told what to do hour by hour?
It's almost unbearable.
I mean, everyone's real nice and all. We aren't being mistreated or anything, but when you've lived the kind of life that we have, It's just hell being told when to eat, when to sleep.
When to pee?
They tell you when to pee?
Well, no, I just thought I'd help prove the point.
Hold on, guys. I'm not following you. You might not like living in the home, but what does that have to do with you coming down to this bar, lying to me, and putting on this act?
Jeff, it's just so boring. Now think about it. Bingo is the highlight of our week. We're going crazy.
And most of the residents are fine with the structure, but for me and Clyde, well, there just has to be more to life than bingo and Monday night spaghetti.
That doesn't answer my question, Hal.
Okay. One day we were just sitting around the common area, talking, reminiscing, and we noticed another resident listening to us.
A lady. Kind of real pretty lady.
Yeah, she kind of was, wasn't she?
Yeah, I seen her at bingo. I think she smiled at me once.
Hal, there ain't been a girl smile at you since
guys.
You...
Guys!
Yeah, oh yeah, okay. So she told us we should write a book.
Well, we ain't writing no book, but it got us to thinking. Maybe it would be fun to tell our stories, but who wants to listen to a couple old guys tell stories about their lives? Certainly not a bunch of other old folks.
So we thought if we could put a little twist on it, make it more interesting, and maybe tell them to some folks outside the home, then maybe we could pull it off.
Yeah, and we could get out of that place for a few hours and live again, even if it's just through our memories.
So we came up with our plan.
We never meant to make anyone mad. Maybe we should have known that you would be the one to take the brunt of it, but the thought never crossed our minds.
So you two came down here pretending to be senile, thinking that's the only way anyone would listen to your stories?
I know it was a stupid idea, but we had to do something.
And you never thought about who you'd hurt when they found out about your little scheme.
I know, Jeff. We didn't think it through. We're real sorry.
So, what made you think we wouldn't want to hear about your lives without pretending to be something that you're not?
Well, I don't know, Jeff. What were we supposed to do? Just come down here and say, hey, we're a couple of old men. How about listening to us tell about our lives?
Well, I see your point. Actually, it's kind of brilliant.
Well, thank you.
What do you mean, thank you? You didn't think it up, I did.
Well, I can see your memory isn't any better than we've been pretending.
Well, it must be better than yours, because you're just a bit off base there, buddy.
Speaking of bases there, buddy, what base did you get up to with Lacey Gibbons while you two were missing my ball game?
Oh, for crying out loud, Hal.
Okay, guys, let's stay in the game here. And what about all this bickering? Is that all just an act, too?
Nope, that's real. He just doesn't know when to stop. Been that way since we were kids.
Well, you're one to talk there, fella. I can't count the number of fights I had to rescue you from that mouth you got you into.
I never needed you to rescue me. I could handle myself.
That's not how I remember it.
Well, that ain't saying much.
I do remember Ty Blevins beating on you pretty good.
What? I won that fight. Besides, I had good reasons for fighting Ty. He was bad-mouthing Sandy Barnes. I was fighting for Sandy's honor.
Her honor? What honor? I think it was more like you wanting to be kissing honor.
Well, it worked. Never had so much fun getting over a black eye.
Okay, guys, back on track. Listen, I don't like the fact that you two have been lying to me all this time, but I am starting to see why you did.
And the free beer is good, too.
What?
Well, the free beer. You know how many rounds you've bought us senile old men since we started coming in here?
No. How many?
18.
Really?
Really? 18 rounds?
Yep. I keep count on my wall back home. Kind of like a notch on my pistol grip.
Well, you're the quickest draw on the west side of this bar.
You two are a special kind of crazy.
Then we're good.
Well, it's a dang good thing you've lived the lives you have, or you'd be out of here. But yeah, we're good. Just be up front with me from now on.
It sounds good, Jimmy.
Really, Clyde?
Actually, Jeff, there's something else. We could use your help.
Yeah?
Well, you know Maggie.
Yeah?
Well, I hate to admit it, but in light of the situation as it stands, I think you better know...
Know what? She okay?
Well, yes.
Guys.
No.
Well, you see, we've been kind of playing her, too.
What? Oh, come on, guys.
Well, we aren't proud of it, and it wasn't our plan. It just kind of happened.
What happened?
Well, you see, we kind of let her believe that we were senile as well.
We really didn't do it on purpose. I guess one day it just kind of came out that way.
Yeah, and the next thing we knew, she started telling us about all this stuff in her personal life.
I think she thought that we'd just forget about it by the next day anyway. Well, so she had nothing to lose. I mean, she really opened up.
Guys, I'm not sure you should be telling me this.
Now, Jeff, this has been eating on us like a dog on a steak bone. Now, just listen.
Now, she needs our help.
Do I really want to know what kind of trouble she's in?
Well, how are you going to help if you don't know what kind of trouble it is?
It was a rhetorical question, Hal.
What? Is that like a trick question?
Clyde, what's the problem?
It's bad. It's real bad.
How bad?
Well, the worst kind of bad.
She killed a resident?
She what? Oh, God, it's worse than I thought.
Have you told the authorities?
How could I? I'm just finding out myself. Jeff, you got an extra couch?
No. Calm down, boys. She didn't kill anybody. She's lonely.
Thank you, Jesus.
She had a boyfriend that treated her poorly. Now she thinks that every guy in the end is just going to break her heart. Hal, you crazy old coot. Do you really think Maggie could kill someone? Didn't she talk to you, too?
Well, yeah, but the three of us weren't ever together. I just figured she must have told you about her killing spree when I wasn't there.
Oh, for crying out loud, Hal.
Okay. So let me guess. You have a plan? What is it this time?
It's Steve.
Who?
It's Steve from last night.
We think that he'd be a perfect match for our Maggie.
Why Steve?
Did you see the way he looked at her when she walked in?
Well, yeah, but a lot of guys look at her like that. She's a pretty lady.
Then when we left, did you hear how they said hi to each other?
Well, yeah, I heard them say hi. What's the big deal?
Boy, you don't know the first thing about love, do you?
Well, I guess not, Clyde. Why don't you fill me in?
Hal, you'd think by his age he'd have a clue about the workings of a lady. Heck, by the time I was his age...
Clyde!
Okay. Jeff, when a guy says hi to a girl, there's a couple of different ways to go about it. The first is, hi, how about we go spend some time together right now? And then there's, hi, there's something about you that I'd like to get to know better.
That's the one you look for.
Yeah, when Steve said hi to Maggie last night, it was definitely the latter.
And then when she said hi back, it wasn't just hi, like whatever, fella. It was hi, like, well, didn't expect to see a fellow like you here.
Yeah, trust us on this, Jeff. We've been around this block a few times.
Guys, I'm not sure you should be meddling in this kind of business.
Boy, we're over 80 years old. We can't afford to let chances like this get away. Love is in the air, son. We need your help. Are you in or out?
So all you want to do is introduce them?
Yep, and maybe nudge Steve in the right direction.
So who are you going to be? The senile old guys?
I think that would be best, as long as we can pull it off.
If we need to, come clean, we will.
Well, I don't like the idea of keeping it from them now that I know, but if you guys promise that you'll tell them the truth if it comes up, then I'll help, for Maggie's sake.
Okay, then. Just follow our lead. When Steve shows up, just set him up in the same stool and let the boys get to work.
Hi, Steve.
They're already here?
Yeah, don't worry. You didn't miss anything. They're just getting reacquainted. They're talking about some girl Hal was dating. I'll get you a beer.
Thanks.
So, why didn't you marry her?
Well, you know, Clyde, there's those girls you know are just for fun. And then there's the ones you know are forever. She was just for fun, and we both knew it.
You ever get married?
Yeah, I did. 52 years together. I met her about a year after I returned from the war. Can you believe it? I met her literally walking down the street. She had a big bag of groceries and was trying her best to get into her car. I stopped and offered to help. You just never know where the right girl will show up.
Yep, you really gotta be on your toes.
If I'd have let that one opportunity pass me by, I'd have missed out on all those years of happiness.
How'd you know she was the one?
Yeah, there was never a doubt. It was just a feeling way down in your gut. From the first time I said hi to her, I knew she was the one. All I had to do was not screw it up.
What'd you say to her?
Well, we talked a bit, and I just said, well, there's something about you that I'd like to get to know better.
That was the best you could come up with?
That was all it took. She later told me it melted her heart. Yeah, she passed about 10 years ago now. You know, as much as I miss her, there's not a single regret. If you'd have told me that I'd outlive the love of my life by a decade, even with all the hurt, I'd do it again. She was my one and only, and I'll be with her again soon enough.
How you boys doing down here?
Oh, we're doing okay.
You okay, Hal?
Yeah, sometimes memories run a little close to the heart.
Yeah, about setting up another round there, Jimbo. I think we're going to need it.
Sure, guys.
You know, Hal, you're right. You just never know where you're going to meet the girl of your dreams. Seems to happen just when you least expect it. You really need to be on your toes. Last thing you want to do is miss the one and only chance you might get for true love.
Yeah, you got that right, Clyde. Now, how about you? You ever marry?
The short answer is no. I've had many a girlfriend, but only once did I ever really think about marrying.
Well?
She is the most beautiful girl I ever met, inside and out. I'd seen her on several occasions out dancing, but I never had the guts to go talk to her. I thought she was way out of my league. But you know she actually came over and talked to me first. We dated for a good while, and I always thought I'd have plenty of time, but before I knew it, I'd taken too long, and she lost interest in waiting.
Well, why didn't you go after her or move on to another girl?
No. No, she was the one, and I knew it. Going after a girl who's already gone is a bad bet. I blew my chance, plain and simple. No, I dated a few girls after that, but nothing real serious. Not a day goes by that I don't wish I had asked that girl to marry me.
Yeah, that's a tough one, buddy.
You know, Hal, sometimes you just have to suck it up and jump in with both feet. Because if you don't, you could be missing out on something real special.
Yeah, you got that right, buddy. Hey, Jimmy, come here. You married, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm married. How about you, Steve? You married?
What? No.
Jeff, that, my friend, was slick.
Hi, Maggie.
Well, hi, Jeff. Have the boys given you any trouble?
Yeah, no more than usual.
Hi.
Hi.
You boys about ready to head home?
Well, sure. What's for supper tonight?
I hope it's mac and cheese. Oh, I love that stuff. Good night.
Bye.
You boys be good.
You got it, Jimmy.
Wow, you guys are deep in it tonight. What's the plan?
We're still working on it, Jeff.
Well, you better hurry. I suspect he'll be here in just a little while.
Yep.
How are we going to get those two together?
Well, we need to get them introduced. Then we need to find a way to get them alone together.
Hey, you remember how we got Butch and Kate together?
Yeah, why?
I was thinking we could do something like that.
Really, Hal? You think we should take Steve and Maggie out in the woods, pretend we're lost, then tell them to sit tight while we go to get help?
It worked before.
Well, how's that going to look, Hal? We're going to tell a nurse and a strong young man to sit tight on the curb on Main Street while two senile old men wander off down the road to get help.
Yeah. Well, how about Jeb and Judy?
Yeah, that would work. Except there's no lake and a rowboat.
Bill and Nancy?
Well, I thought about that one, too. But I don't think we have time to find a snake or a mouse.
Zach and Maybell.
Nope, springtime. creek's too high.
How many couples did you two fix up?
Oh, there's been a few.
I got it. Remember how me and Wendy got to dating?
Huh. Well, that just might work. We'd have to make a few adjustments.
Well, yeah. We don't have a pitchfork and baling wire.
Right, but I see where you're going with it. I say we try it.
You're not going to tie her up, are you?
No, of course not. When Steve shows up, just put a shot of whiskey and a beer in front of him. He's going to need the extra shot of courage.
You just tell him it's from a friend.
Who?
Doesn't matter.
Well, who's going to pay for it?
Well, heck, Jeff, what kind of friend are you?
The kind that's going to go broke buying you guys drinks.
Well, just think how much money you're going to save now that you know the truth. You won't have to buy these two senile old men any more rounds.
Oh, you got that right, Clyde. No more notches on your wall from me.
Besides, it's for a good cause.
You just better hope your little scheme works. There's still a lot that could go wrong, you know. If this thing goes south, Maggie gets hurt, she'll never talk to any of us ever again. Ever.
Just cool your jets there, Hondo. We have this thing well in hand.
Yeah.
Then we're good?
Well, I guess.
Another notch.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Jeff. Did I miss anything?
Nope, they just got started. Usual?
Sure, thanks. Thanks, Jeff. Wait, what's with the shot?
It's whiskey.
Okay, but why did you give it to me?
Well,
I didn't order it.
Well, it's from a friend.
Who?
I don't know. When I got here this afternoon, there was a note on the bar that said, if Steve shows up, give him a shot of whiskey on me.
Huh. And you don't know who left the note?
Nope.
Yeah, I really learned my lesson with that girl. I rushed in way too quick, took things too fast, and got a slap right across my cheek to show for it.
Well, you won't forget that one. You just can't rush love. You have to read the signs and just let it develop. If she is the one for you, she'll show you one way or another.
Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Jeff.
Well, how's your day going?
Well, cussed out and spit on. So far, so good. No, really, I'm having a good day. Have the boys been any trouble?
Nah, I'm kind of getting used to the cranky old guys at the end of the bar.
Hello, Miss Maggie.
Hi, Steve, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I hope the guys haven't bored you too much today.
Nope, barely even knew they were here.
Okay, boys, let's get you home.
You know, Maggie, you sure look pretty tonight.
They're scrubs, Hal. Ha! I wear them every day. What's with you tonight?
Well, I don't know. There just seems to be something different.
Huh?
Wouldn't you agree, son?
Yeah. She's, you're, beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Maggie, this is our good friend.
Steve, I know. We've already met, kind of.
Well, now it's official.
Say something, boy.
I have to agree with Hal. You look very nice, in scrubs.
Well, thank you again. Now, if you boys are through fooling around, I need to get you two home. Whoa, Hal, are you okay?
You okay, buddy?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just an old ankle injury. Flares up every once in a while. I'll be fine. Just takes me a while.
Well, does it hurt to walk?
Well, I guess I could get by with a little help.
Here, let me help you.
Whoa now. A little thing like you helping a full-grown man? We wouldn't want to see you get hurt.
Well, I think I'll be just...
Not have none of it. I'm sure we can find you some help. Son, you think you could help get this fragile old man back to his home?
Well, sure. I'd be glad to help.
Well, I don't mean to impose, but would you mind?
Oh, not at all. It'd be my pleasure.
Are you guys gonna be okay?
Oh, don't you worry, Jimmy. We'll be just fine.
You have been listening to Remember When, Part 2, written by Darren Abersold. Our featured voices were those of John Welsh, Charlie Finkel, Jim Dowling, Ian Dalzell, and Laura Christensen. Director was John Welsh. Our technical director, as always, is Lily Dubois. KKRN Community Radio is an all-volunteer station entirely dependent on donations and underwriting. Because of the COVID-19 pandemic, we have had to cancel all of our usual spring fundraising activities. Please consider making a donation at this time to help us stay on the air. Go to kkrn.org and click on the donate button, or send a check to KKRN, Post Office Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96084. Good night, and thanks for listening to Scratched Up Radio Theater.
I remember you. You're the one who said I love you too. Didn't you know? I remember too a distant bell and stars that fell like the rain out of the blue. When my life is through and the angels ask me to recall the thrill of them all, then I will tell them I remember you. I remember too a distant bell and stars that fell like the rain out of the blue. When my life is through and the angels ask me to recall the thrill of them all, then I will tell them I remember.
Hey, Lorene, how's it going?
Morning, George. Didn't see your truck out front. Coffee?
Sure, I'll take a cup. You didn't see my truck because it isn't there. Take another look, Lorene. That shiny new Ford parked out front is my new baby.
You are styling now. Here's your coffee. I guess the old one finally gave up the ghost.
Oh, she runs fine, but business is picking up. It was time to upgrade and get something bigger.
You traded in?
No, they didn't want to give me much. Selling a truck is such a hassle.
Why?
You leave a truck in town with a for sale sign, you have to run back and forth every time somebody calls. No fun, and I sure don't want strangers coming up around my place nosing around. On top of that, there's the whole COVID thing. I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place.
I get your point. You know, you could always donate the truck to KKRN. You listen to that station, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It's always on while I'm driving. Tell me more about this donation thing.
It's pretty simple. You either go to careasy.org or call them at 800-500-7433 and let them know about the truck, and they will walk you through the process. They even send a tow truck to pick up the vehicle.
That doesn't sound half bad.
And when the vehicle sells, KKRN gets some cash and you get a tax credit, which comes in handy if you itemize on your tax returns. You remember the van? Jim and I donated it last year. Got a tax credit, and the station made over $1,000.
So that's where your van went. I think I'll look into that. What was that contact information again?
Go to careasy.org or call 800-500-7433.
Thank you, Lorene. This just might solve my problem.